House will come to order. Today is Monday, February 2nd. It's the 15th day of the session. Pending deadlines. Today is the last day for House bills to be submitted to LSO for introduction. That must be done by noon. This coming Friday, February the 6th, is the last day for bills to be reported out of committee in the House of Origin. So if your bill doesn't make it out of committee Friday, it dies. And we'll all cooperate to try to help each other get all of our bills out. The clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Here.
Baker.
Here.
Baldwin.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blackburn.
Here.
Blackburn. Blake.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird. Bird excused. Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Clem.
Here.
Connolly. Dayton. Edmonds.
Here.
Edwards.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel. Esquivel. Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Halverson.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harvey.
Here.
Hunt.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Jennings.
Here.
Kasparik. Kirkbride.
Here.
Croker. Crone, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lockhart, Lauk, Madden, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Patton, Paxton, Pelkey, Petroff, Piperinen, Pinnell, Reeder, Schwartz, Summers, Steinmetz, Stubson, Throne, Walters, Wilson, Winters,
here.
Swanitzer Dan,
here.
Swanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
Blackburn,
here.
Esquivel,
here.
Esquivel excused, 58 present, 2 excused.
The prayer for the day is offered by Pastor Ernest Fitzhugh, representing United Missionary Baptist Church.
First of all, good morning. Let us bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to thank you for this day. This is the day that thou hast made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, I ask a special blessing upon these men and these women that have come to enact bills that will help us to live better lives. Ask for blessings upon this whole assembly. So you will keep them all in your keeping care. Bless their families that are waiting their arrivals back home. Keep us, O God, and allow us to do those things that brings glory and honor to your name. Bless the state of Wyoming. Bless the whole United States of America. I ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. Please join me. The doctor of the day is James Broomfield from Cheyenne. Please welcome him to the house. What's the journal committee report?
Your journal committee reports that the journal of January 30th, 2015 had been read and recommends that it be approved, signed by Representatives Steinmetz and Schwartz.
We're now at that business of introduction, reading, and reference of bills. First bill for our consideration is House Bill 222.
House Bill 222 from Representative Pelkey, an act relating to sibling visitation rights.
House Bill 222 is referred to Judiciary Committee Number 1. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 230.
House Bill 230 from Representative Pelkey, an act relating to criminal procedure.
House Bill 230 is assigned to Judiciary Committee Number 1. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 225.
House Bill 225 from Representative Berger, an act relating to law enforcement.
House Bill 225 is assigned to Appropriations Committee Number 2. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 226.
House Bill 226 from Representative Steinmetz, an act relating to State Board of Education.
House Bill 226 is assigned to Education Committee Number 4. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 218.
House Bill 218 from Representative Petroff, an act relating to labor and employment.
House Bill 218 is assigned to Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife Committee Number 6. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 219.
House Bill 219 from Representative Moniz, an act relating to motor vehicles.
House Bill 219 is assigned to Transportation Committee Number 8. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 220.
House Bill 220 from Representative Kaspilik, an act relating to motor vehicle license plates.
House Bill 220 is assigned to Transportation Committee Number 8. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 224.
House Bill 224 from Representative Baldwin, an act relating to penalties for violating fire restrictions.
House Bill 224 is assigned to Minerals Committee Number 9. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 229.
House Bill 229 from Representative Connolly, an act relating to Wyoming Occupational Health and Safety Act.
House Bill 229 is assigned to Minerals Committee Number 9. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 147, Wyoming Council for Education, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhart, Connolly, Harshman, Moniz, and Stebson, 2 no votes, Representative Greer and Nicholas, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
Re-referrals, Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to re-refer House Bill 209 to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
House Bill 209 is re-referred to Appropriations Committee Number 2. Vice Chairman Kasparik.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Minerals Committee Number 9 would like to re-refer House Bill 193 to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
House Bill 193 is re-referred to Appropriations Committee Number 2. We're at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 32. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 32 from Representative McKim, an act relating to public health.
House Bill 32 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 60. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 60 from the Minerals Committee, an act relating to trust companies.
House Bill 60 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 70.
House Bill 70 from the Select Water Committee, an act relating to water development projects.
There is an amendment. Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I would move House Bill 70, second reading amendment number one, ask for favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, this goes after something I queried about during the testimony. This is weather modification. This is a new program being initiated. And ladies and gentlemen, there's probably two things I would ask you to consider as we examine this. Is one, are we clear about what we're getting out of the first projects and programs? And two, has this program and process been followed through appropriately? With this type of with these type of fundings in this bill, there's generally a four-step process: the agency, commission, select, and then on to the legislature. My understanding in speaking with folks who were involved in this process is that this may have circumvented the first two parts of that, and therefore hasn't had that due diligence that is required and we generally expect in this process. So that would be my consideration. Be glad to hear the discussion on, one, the validity of cloud seeding, and two, whether we want to maintain the process that has been laid out and respected in most all cases. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This particular project, part of it has already the work already done on it. As I was looking through this last night, the Medicine Bow and Sierra Madre had studies done on it and was pulled back after the initial studies were done. Bighorn and Laramie were new to the being added to it. As far as the going through the process, I believe this was brought forward by the Select Water. And not being on that committee and not being going through that process, I'm kind of looking for the words I want to talk about here. But I believe it did go through both of these committees, and then was brought forward for the proposed appropriation in committee and also talked about in our Ag Committee. The effectiveness of the project, in the other ones that have been studied so far, they're talking about 5 to 15% increase in water content. This is simply an attempt to bring forward the overall water content in the state of Wyoming. This one, like I said, part of this is being studied now, part of it's already been studied, and we're just looking for the appropriations to move forward to make it a viable water project.
Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I would try to explain some of what happened with that $1.6 million that was brought into the budget. We are out of process, normal process, in the way we do things, and that would be one reason why I would support this amendment. Let me explain how we got out of process and why we did. The science came to us fairly late this year. I think it was finalized in October or November, the final reports. We had a group of scientists that had come to the conclusion that we were probably increasing snowpack by 15% in that vicinity. It's anywhere from 7 to 23%. Also, the environmental effects from the silver iodide are negligible, and the robbing of moisture from clouds that should be going somewhere else is also negligible. And I can't remember how they figured that out. But the science is pretty good. It may be the first time this has ever really been proven that there's an increase in moisture. So that came late in the year. The amendment came rather late in the process. Normally, you'd bring it to the Water Development Office. They'd go through a planning process, bring it to the Commission and Select Water. Everybody would go through that at least for a couple of
through a normal process, I don't know as I can explain all of the steps in it. I'm somewhat torn on the amendment. I agree we're out of process with it. It was difficult to bring it forward 6 months ago, 8 months ago, because we didn't have the exact science on it. The generators that were in place were pulled because they were only permitted for the experiments themselves. So one way or another, we would have had to go through the same permitting process to get them put back into place. The part I do like about it is we get started with this a year earlier, and we're usually lacking water on the east drainage, and the ones that are left on the west side, the permitting it's on private property, so we can do that, and the downstream states we're in process on that part. This part, I guess a good reason for sticking with this is our water development office is really outstanding. It isn't the first time we got them out of process, and they seem to be able to adjust and roll with the punches, I guess, so to speak. This one, I have no doubt they'll be able to figure this out. The main guy that did the experimentation, he'll be on board. He knows how to set the generators up. And the office has already been through this. The water is usually needed. We have a tough time filling the reservoirs that are there. So starting at a year earlier, I'm probably going to vote against the amendment because I think it might be worth staying out of process a little bit and getting this started. But those are the reasons why we got out of process. The way to fix it is to start a year late. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gurr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of the amendment. And I just, to help clarify here, is we've got two line items in the water bill. And one is for $170,000 for the Weather Mod project in the Wind Rivers. And that's the experimental project that we've spent millions of dollars on, in which we finally had all the events finished up last spring to where the final report was coming in. And the last good speaker told us that the scientific evidence was gathered and put together with that with a wide range of success. But I think they'd settled on 15%. And I also want to point out that my understanding of this is that this augmentation only works in wet years. It doesn't help when we're in a dry year. The augmentation is most effective when we're having a wet year with a lot of snow so that we can accumulate more snow for our reservoirs, and it does have a positive impact. It's also from my time on the Ag Committee is that we had continued with funding last year on this Wind River project to hold the leases and the easements and the permits in the Wind River, and also had reached to the downstream states on the Colorado river system so that this could continue in place and continue that augmentation to help with the issues of water issues going on in the western states. This amendment does not address that project. What it does is address the line item above it for the $1.4 million for an expansion of a weather modification project into the Bighorns, Laramie, Medicine Bow area. Now, if you read through your amendments to the bill, you'll see that this was brought in as an amendment through the Select Water, which is one which the Select Water Committee has the right to do their own amendments and review it, but it's out of process as normal. And I think the question you need to ask yourself is, we just finished up the report in the Wind River. Are we ready to go ahead and jump into another water modification project, knowing that we have decreasing revenues within the state and we're actually having issues funding our three water accounts? Or are we better off to put the brakes on the expansion of this project and looking at it in the ordinary process so it goes through the commission, and then maybe we look at it and make a decision next year once we see where maybe the price of oil goes. And I say that that's what we need to do, is we need to put the brakes on it, vote in favor of this amendment, and then let the process work its way through, and that's how I would encourage you to vote.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This came up in Select Water, our last meeting, and the last speaker is correct, the $170,000 total. That's been augmented by money from other states to make that project keep going. We worked with the Wyoming Water Development Commission on this process, and 15% is correct, could get that much of an increase in snowpack on the other areas. And I don't believe there was a dissenting vote on the Select Water Committee, to tell you the truth. And I would vote against this amendment. And, you know, weather modification works. And the last speaker also said if it's a dry season, it doesn't really work. It's based on each storm. Each storm that comes through may have enough moisture that cloud seeding will really work, but another storm might come through with not enough moisture content. So it's each storm, not necessarily each season. As each storm rolls by, they take all their calculations and stuff. So if we want to move forward with this, this is the time to do it. And we get our permitting done in other places, Laramie Peak, places like that, where we haven't really done a lot. So I would vote no on this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I stand in favor of the bill in opposition to the amendment. I too am on the Select Water Committee. We spend all year several meetings vetting all the water projects that come before the Water Development Commission and Select Water Committee. This particular year, there was little difference. We did get out of process. We heard all the testimony. This particular program, this weather mod program, is highly successful, extremely successful. And the Select Water chose to move forward with another project here. So I think it's to our benefit to go ahead with this project, and there's been some discussion about out of process. We, the Select Water Committee, even though the Water Development Commission chose not to fund this particular project, we did. That's within our prerogative to do so. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I would suggest you vote against this amendment and go with the bill. Thank you.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm on the Select Water Committee, too, and I urge you to support this amendment, and then after the amendment passes, support the bill. Let me tell you about this rumor about the effectiveness of cloud seeding. In short, the fact is we don't know how effective it is. We had a report provided to us at one of the last meetings, and it said that it looks as though we can increase rainfall somewhere between 5 and 15% of cloud seedable events, okay? And that's the thing the media missed and everybody else missed, that there's only a subset of rain events that are seedable events, okay? And it varies from year to year. I think I heard the representative from District 27 correctly point out that the drier the year is, the rarer the seedable events are. If you've got a wet year, you've already got not lots of seedable events, but you'll have more. And when it's all whittled down, you come up with, the reason the confidence band is so wide is because we don't have that much good data or that much information to put much reliance in on it. 5 to 15%, you want to take a midpoint of that at 10%, and then you got maybe 20% of the rain events are in fact cloud seedable events. And by the time you're all done with this, you might have an event where a little rain will fall in the same place it was going to fall, but it will be maybe 2 to 3% more over the entire year if you looked at that. And the other thing you have to realize with this kind of statistics is that it doesn't mean that it's going to rain all over the place that much. It's just that wherever that cloud was going to deposit precipitation, it could be 5 to 15% whenever you can hit those 20% of the time or so that it's a seedable event. The other thing I think is extremely important to point out, that this 1.4 million appropriation that was put in here was not put in by the commission. It was put in by the Select Water Committee in the absence of the concurrence of the commission. Now, if you look at the statute of the Water Commission, it says that the Select Water Committee, or I should say the legislature, should include only those projects in the water appropriations bill that have been reviewed by the commission. So now we get into the semantic argument. If something is reviewed by the commission and they've reviewed it and decided it's a bad way to spend the Water Development Commission money and they don't fund it, does that still count that they reviewed it so we can kind of reverse what they recommended? And I guess we won't be able to settle that today, but I think this water bill can go forward real easy and real nice if this amendment were approved and we go back and, you know, take a logical step on. This is a lot of money, folks. This is probably one of the biggest expenditures you'll see in this water construction omnibus, water bill construction account appropriation in House Bill 70. So please approve this amendment.
Representative Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in opposition to this amendment. Water is one of our most valuable resources we have in Wyoming. And as such, if any time that we can increase that resource for the beneficial use of the people of Wyoming, we should do that, and this amendment would not be beneficial to Wyoming. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for my second time. What it comes down to, folks, for me, and you have to make your decision here on your own, is the Select Water Committee, which is we're all members of the legislature, six from the Senate, six from the House. We listen to all the water projects throughout the year. The Water Development Commission listens to them. We listen to them. We are elected officials. We represent our constituents. And as a Select Water Committee, we made a decision to add this project to the bill. So what it comes down to me is, Do we represent the constituents and vote on their behalf, or do we let the Water Development Commission whine about a decision that we made? And for me, it's a position that I think I represent my constituents. We made a decision to put this in the bill, and I think it belongs there. And I would ask you to be opposed to this amendment and for the bill. Thank you.
Representative Eklund, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would dispute that this science that we were told about isn't pretty solid. We had a last meeting, we had a room full of people that gave a presentation, and they showed why the science proved finally that cloud seeding would work. It would increase the snowpack. It doesn't have much to do with rain. It's almost all snow and weather events in the wintertime. As far as seedable events, part of the reason we don't have seedable events in a scientific project is we have very few generators. So these generators are placed, I don't know how far apart, but it does no good to turn on the generator if the wind direction's wrong way and the cloud won't be seeded. So a lot of these events are not seedable because of that. There aren't enough generators. That's part of why we need to get going with another project that would would increase the number of generators so that more clouds could be seeded. The 7 to 23%, part of that, if I understand it, is the 7% is when you're in a dry season and you just don't have very many cloud seeding events that you can do. The 23 is the higher end of that. And they settled on something in between based on the number of years and the amount of information that they had. Not all of the storms, the other thing, not all of the storms are useful, because you'd have a storm that went through and you could seed that storm, but you wouldn't have a simultaneous storm, so you could compare the results of the cloud seeding in one place to the other place. I wish the whole legislature had been sitting in on that meeting. So I think the science is pretty good on that, and I would urge a no vote on this. Like I said, we got this information kind of late. The commission reviewed it, didn't spend much time on it, because, you know, we were working off the fly, and I wish it had been different than that. I wish we'd have been in process, but I have full confidence in the Water Development Office and this process that we can get it tracked and maybe started a year earlier. Thank you. I would urge a no vote on this.
Chairman McKim, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would second those suggestions just made. No vote on the amendment, but an aye vote on the bill. As far as the bill itself, if you look at the bill, who is the sponsor of the bill? Who's bringing forth the bill as suggested at this point? And just look at that. The other thing is, as we're talking about this, this was just an attempt to jumpstart this program. We are concerned about the water in the state of Wyoming. We are concerned about filling the reservoirs. The effectiveness of cloud seeding on the west side of the state, I have a state just to the west of me that does this full time. They have a corridor of generators set on top of their mountains. The wind pattern, the weather pattern comes right through the middle of the state and butts up against those mountains where I live. And the water, the snow dumps into that big river right there that kind of wiggles back and forth like a particular animal and runs right back into that state to the west of me. So they're doing it for their own purposes, but we benefit from it. And Wyoming does not pay at all for that particular part. We're looking for projects within the state of Wyoming that will benefit Wyoming. If we can find other people that will join in and pay for these particular types of experiments, then we'll find them and ask them to join into our coalition, much like the Wind River is. Once again, two of these areas have been studied before. Two are new. This is simply an attempt to jumpstart those projects in those areas. So vote for the bill, no on the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Greer, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let's be clear, what we're talking about is $1.4 million to expand a program. The first program, and I don't have the numbers of the millions of dollars we spent on it, and it was for a research project, and the data was gathered, and as has been said, you can judge for yourself, but it has a marginal effect. It has a marginal effect when we have, and I don't care what everybody says, it's a wet year, because the events are the ones that work. And now what we're going to do is go ahead and spend $1.4 million out of Water One to go ahead and expand this project without it being fully vetted and without a clear plan going forward. Now, I'm going to submit to you, we come in, we vote on this bill every year, and this bill helps our communities immensely. And it also has the ability with the Water Three account to help our state immensely. But the money that's in there is not unlimited. And so we just have to decide what we want to prioritize. And if this is it, and what I've heard is, well, the data that we have says it's only marginal because we don't have enough of these generators out there. So we just go ahead and need to trust and expand this program and start spending more money. This 1.4 is just a small amount of what will happen if we continue with this project, because that number is going to grow. And it's going to grow to 4 million, 5 million, year after year after year. So we're going to see the money isn't unlimited. We have to start making some decisions. And that's all I want everyone to think about when they vote for this. I'm against this amendment and most definitely for this bill. Thank you.
Anyone else for the second time before the sponsor? Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good discussion. Actually, this is exactly what needed to happen. Been through this process a couple times before, and we never had this discussion. So thank you. I'd like to point out a couple of things that were brought up through the testimony. First of all, we're initiating a process here, initiating a project. So it was stated that two of these have already had some groundwork done. Well, then why aren't they the only two in here? Because this project is for four areas. Turn to page 15 of your bill. Under special conditions, shall develop individual snowpack augmentation for four target mountain ranges. This isn't about the two priorities that were spoken about the work that's already previously been done. This is something broader than that. The second thing is, and it was talked about the project that's already in existence, that's on page 16. Take a look at that. 75% of the dollars out of that come from somewhere else. Folks, we're starting with all our dollars, and in Section C of this, we're asking the office to go out and find someone to partner with us. Find someone else who might think this is beneficial. Who's going to come to the table if we're going to do all the work? And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we also know that the ongoing project, wasn't $1.4 million. It was millions and millions of dollars. So let's not kid ourselves. There will be another request, another year, for more money. So this is the choice you get to make. Do you want the planning process to work so they come to us, they have the actual ask to actually have a meaningful, viable project, or are we going to piecemeal this together? Ladies and gentlemen, I would ask you to vote in favor of the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 70. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 has failed. Division being called. All in favor, please stand. All opposed, please stand. As I was saying, the amendment has failed. House Bill 70, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 71. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 71 from the Labor Committee, an act relating to the Wyoming Investment in Nursing Program.
House Bill 71, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 86. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 86 from Representative Petroff, an act relating to the Board of Cooperative Educational Services.
House Bill 86, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 87. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 87 from Representative Summers, an act relating to the process for adoption of education content and performing standards.
House Bill 87, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 88. The reading clerk will read the bill.
An act relating to public health and safety is House Bill 88 from Representative Wilson.
House Bill 88, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 113. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 113 from Representative Greer, an act relating to public health and safety.
House Bill 113, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 139.
House Bill 139 from Representative Petroff, an act relating to unemployment compensation.
House Bill 139 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 145. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 145 from Speaker Brown, an act relating to fiduciaries.
House Bill 145 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 160. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 160 from Speaker Brown, an act relating to property.
House Bill 160 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 161.
House Bill 161 from Speaker Brown, an act relating to civil procedure.
House Bill 161 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 6. The reading clerk will read the resolution.
House Joint Resolution 6 from Representative Berger, a joint resolution supporting policy initiatives that promote local food production in Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Sorry about the delay. Page 1, line 14, we're inserting honey because that is... House Joint Resolution number 6, second reading number 1. Ask for your favorable consideration. Page 1, line 14, we insert after eggs, insert honey. For the reason being, there is a lot of honey producers within the state. That was brought to my attention. On page 3, line 15, we're going to be deleting the Lindholm Committee of the Whole amendment to the line after citizens and insert and recognizes local food production as a vital component of Wyoming's agriculture economy. I stand for questions.
Discussion on the amendment. Question being called. We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Joint Resolution 6. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Joint Resolution 6 has passed. House Joint Resolution 6 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 8. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Joint Resolution 8 from Representative Dave Zwanitzer. A joint resolution requesting Congress to eliminate the freeze on longer combination vehicles.
House Joint Resolution 8 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. We're now at that order of business on third and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 44. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 44 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to taxation, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 44 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd, excused. Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy. Clem, Connolly, Dayton, Edmonds, Edwards, Eklund, Esquivel, Freeman, Gay, Greer, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Yagi, Jennings, Kasparic, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz, Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters, Wilson, Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 53 ayes, 6 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 44, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 44 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 72. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 72 from the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to pension accounts, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 72, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd excused. Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparic. Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm. Lindholm conflict. Lockhart.
Aye.
Lauks.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nemonese.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey. Petroff,
Piperinen,
Pinnell, Reeder,
no.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
no.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
no.
Swanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Miller, aye to no. Lauks, aye to no. Clem, aye to no. Edmonds, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 48 aye, 10 no, 1 excused, 1 conflict.
House Bill 72, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 72 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 83. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 83 from Representative Winters, an act relating to religious freedom, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
There are two amendments, and we'll take them in the order that they are numbered. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Bill 83, third reading, amendment number one. Basically, this codifies what some of us believe the bill already does. But I want to make it clear, and I want it to speak to it exactly. And it basically just says nothing in this act shall be construed to allow or authorize a government employee or official from refusing to perform any of the duties or responsibilities which are required of that person's position or office, regardless of the person's religious or moral objections. We've got taxpayers that need to be served, and it's my belief that they're paying for that service, and we should have it in this bill. I stand for questions.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I stand on in favor of this amendment. I think when you hire on to serve the public, then you hire on to serve the public, and that includes all of the public. If you don't want to serve all the public, then you do not have to take those positions, and so I would stand in favor of this amendment.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would urge you to oppose this. I do appreciate what's trying to be expressed here, because that is what the bill does. The bill does speak toward compelling governmental interest using the least restrictive means, which actually covers that. But I have found that there is a situation, a case that was in New Jersey in a state-run hospital that dictated to their nurses that they would have to perform non-emergency things that violated their conscience, even when there were other individuals who are capable of doing so. So this is a little broad, and it would possibly carve out places where even nurses could be potentially protected in these situations. And so I do appreciate the heart of this and have had the opportunity to speak with the sponsor of the bill, and I appreciate what he's trying to do here. I think it's covered in the bill, though. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Kasparik.
On for the amendment, I am a nurse. There are oftentimes that patients come into hospitals, into clinics that require care. As a nurse, it was not my place to judge or place value on which patient could be served or not served. Sometimes you have to set aside your personal values to do your duty and do your job. On and for the amendment.
Representative Halverson. And Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, would you come up, please? Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As regards the delivery of care in hospitals, Wyoming has a conscience clause for health care providers. The situation encountered in that state on the East Coast would not apply here in Wyoming. Anyone in any healthcare delivery facility can object to performing a procedure for reasons of conscience. This is already in Wyoming statute. I would urge this body to reject this amendment and incorporate conscience into more than just the healthcare industry. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. It is true in this bill. It says, wait a minute, I got to catch up just a little bit. It is true in this bill that it says, and I'm on page 4 at line 19, government may substantially burden a person's exercise of religion or moral conscience only if it demonstrates that application of the burden to the person's exercise of religion or moral conscience in that particular instance is essential to further a compelling government interest and the least restrictive means of furthering that compelling government interest. Well, what in the heck does that mean? And how many times do we want to go to court? That's Supreme Court language. It's got so many nuances and it's so deep. How's anybody standing at the counter in the county clerk's office going to unravel that? And what are the policies going to be? And then are those policies just going to lead to lawsuits? And I agree with the one speaker that said, look, the county clerk's in the business of issuing marriage licenses. That's what we do. We issue marriage licenses if it's lawful to do so. That's the job. If you want to apply for the job, that's the burden that you take on. That's what you agree to do. And if that is troublesome to you, then don't take the job. Don't apply for it. And to me, if you work this out, and if you work, it's kind of like some of these political arguments that we've been hearing out there, where you've got to take this litmus test for this and this litmus test for that, and it gets so fractured that pretty soon government has the potential to become totally dysfunctional, with nobody wanting to do the job because they got a religious beef about it. And then I asked one person about this, and the person said, well, go somewhere else. Well, you can't in many of those instances. But does that fit in the language essential to further a compelling government interest and the least restrictive means of furthering that compelling government interest? I don't know. That's the kind of stuff that courts chew on all the time. And it's great stuff for courts. I don't want to belittle the courts or belittle the language, but in its practical application, it's just crazy trying to figure it out. So, I would submit to you that this is a good amendment. And it says, with respect to these government services, is exactly that. If you're going to do the job, do the job. If you don't want to do the job, don't do it. But you get these fractured political arguments. I've often said, these people start in on these litmus tests, and before they get done, you're down to a party of one. One. You're so unique, nobody else fits in your class. And the same thing can happen with religious categories. And you winnow it down, and you winnow it down, and you winnow it down, and how many shades of religion are there, and how many things are going on. And besides, these are government jobs, and as long as people can do the work, they ought to have the opportunity to do the job. And so if they're willing to do the work and they're willing to do the job, that means that they put their religious beliefs aside and they do the job. If they're not willing to do that, then don't take the job. Don't take that employment. Go somewhere that suits your religious persuasion, whatever it may be. So on and for the amendment.
Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. For the amendment, I think it's important to echo what the previous speaker said. I think it's important that this body not be vague in what we do. You know, I don't know that I can support this bill without the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Representatives Wanitz or Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, as I'm starting to think through all of the Wyoming state employees and government employees, my mind turned to the National Guard. And so if we're in a time of war and our guardsmen get called up and they're on the front lines, I mean, they don't get to be pacifists. And so when I start thinking about, you know, the life or death situations that someone could be put in with fellow soldiers on the line, I don't think you can have a religious or moral objection if you're serving the duty of your country, whether or not you like that, you sign up for that responsibility. And so, you know, we talked about county clerks and other local government things, but I was just turned the body's attention to if we had a life or death situation with our National Guardsmen, that I do think this amendment is appropriate.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think the argument is backwards when we hear that, and this is against this amendment, the argument for this amendment is backwards when it says that people in presently employed are imposing conditions on what they will and won't do. These conditions are being imposed from outside, with this amendment being a demonstration of that, dictating to present employees what they will and won't do. So let's remember where the source of this is and where the burden of proof lies. So please vote against this amendment for the bill.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Oh, Representative Steinmetz, I'm sorry, and you're still on your first time. Please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to address one thing, and that would be the National Guard argument. And it just says in the last page, page 6, section B, nothing in this act shall be construed to excuse acts of licentiousness or justify practices inconsistent with the peace and safety of the state or its laws which protect the health and safety of the public. So those things would be exempt. Thank you very much.
Anyone else for their first time? Okay, anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for my second time. The argument, don't apply for the job if you're not prepared to fulfill 100% of its duties, bothers me a little bit. Isn't this a form of discrimination right there? This is the job. If you have a conscience that bothers you about some aspect of it, you need not apply. There needs to be some recognition that every job has some aspect of it that we don't like, we don't object to, that there are ways around it. There are sometimes just bite the bullet and do it. But don't apply. because some of this might violate your conscience and you might have to turn to someone else in the office to fulfill this duty. I think that in itself is a form of discrimination, and I urge your aye vote on the amendment.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do believe that everything has been covered within this bill quite well, and so while this simply looks like a restatement of the intention of the bill, and I do appreciate it, one thing I fear is that indeed it would become a lawyer's a boon to a lawyer, in that what we have here is now we're providing opportunities for people to look further and further and further for more cases. Truly, if you have to pass litmus test after litmus test and say that you're willing to give up right after right and freedom of conscience just to work for the government, what happens is you actually have an exclusion zone in the government for people of faith. I don't want that. I don't think that's the result that we want for our country. So while this amendment actually seems to simply restate, I don't want it to be misconstrued so broadly that it could be misused in the future. Thank you, Mr.
Anyone else for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Zwanitzer Dan.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Just maybe some philosophy real quick. You know, when you're a civil servant, just like all of us are in this room, you take an oath to uphold the Constitution of the U.S. and of this state. All of our civil servants do. And over time, you know, the laws of our country change based on the state or federal legislature, the U.S. Supreme Court, or our state Supreme Court. You're still bound by that oath to uphold the laws. No matter if your personal views get in the way, you can always quit that job. But when you're a civil servant and you pledge that oath, I mean, better or worse, you don't like what our country does. We've certainly complained in this body many times that we don't always think D.C. is acting fair or we don't agree with the court ruling, but we're still bound by those rulings and in support of our country. And so at the end of the day, we're a nation of laws, not a nation of men, according to several prominent founders. And I think that applies here in this amendment. And so I would ask you to support the amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to echo some of the comments that have already been made, when you go to serve the public, you serve all of the public, every taxpayer. Every taxpayer means no one is exempt. Just because your religious beliefs dictate that you do not have to serve that person does not mean that that person is still not a taxpayer and still that person still deserves to be serviced. And we'll talk about the elephant in the room. This has to do with marriage licenses. This has to do with being served a marriage license. If the state of Wyoming is going to demand that it be involved in the act of marriage in the first place, that means that we have to issue marriage licenses. You do not have a religious exemption on that if you work for the county or for the state. That is a job that you have signed up to do, and this amendment, I believe, ensures that that job is done for the taxpayers. Thank you.
We're voting on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 83. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 83 is passed. There is another amendment. Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number two to House Bill 83 and will withdraw it at the appropriate time. Friends, we've had a lot of discussion about this bill and how to make sure we avoid the unintended consequences. But because I think there are many unintended consequences of this bill, even with the passage of the last amendment. I want us to think a little bit more before we jump on this bandwagon of so-called religious freedom. You know, there are a lot of sincerely held religious beliefs in the world and in our country. One of them is that I shouldn't even be here. I shouldn't be at this mic. My clothing is inappropriate and my head should be covered. That is a sincerely held religious belief. But if I'm going into a business owned by someone who believes that, public accommodation doctrines mean that they have to still provide service to me. I can't be denied a job because someone thinks my husband should provide protection. I can't be denied a pay raise because maybe somebody, it's their sincerely held religious belief that I shouldn't have a job. But sincerely held religious beliefs have been used in this country and not always in positive ways. It was a sincerely held religious belief that slavery was ordained by God, and there's text in the Bible to support that view. It was a sincerely held religious belief that it was okay to discriminate against people of non-Caucasian race. And for years, those sincerely held religious beliefs held sway in certain parts of this country. But that's not what we're about. We have laws in place that businesses have to provide services free of discrimination. They have to serve me. They have to serve everybody in this room. And I, frankly, do not know what this bill does to all of that. It doesn't provide any exemptions for those sorts of things. So if I, you know, have an Orthodox employer who doesn't believe in eating ham, can they fire me because I bring a ham sandwich to lunch? I don't know. This bill opens up a Pandora's box that we should avoid. And so I would urge you to support the amendment and vote against the bill.
Discussion on the amendment. Representative Conley, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm in favor of the amendment and obviously very much against the bill. Friends, this bill is the broadest articulation of a religious exemption. These bills are being introduced all over the country. This, again, is one of the broadest exemptions that exists. It allows for discrimination based on, page 3, line 9, any sincerely held religious belief, whether or not compelled by or central to that system of religious belief. Line 19, based on moral conscience. Many of us belong to or were brought up in religious traditions that have very, very strict and, if you will, discriminatory practices. I was thinking of my mother. And if you can think of my name, you can figure out what my religious background is. And in fact, I went to 12 years of that religious tradition school. I didn't know someone who wasn't of my religious background until I was an adult. My mother was a devout woman in that religious tradition and faith, but she could never become a priest. I, unlike my brothers, could never go on the altar. Right? That wasn't possible. And it's still not possible in the religious tradition that I was brought up in for women to be on the altar. That's okay. That's what it means, in part, to be an American. We recognize and we honor religious traditions. But when I walked out of that church, when my mother walked out of that church, I was encouraged to get the highest level of education I could. If I wanted to be a CIO, if I wanted to be a CFO, if I wanted to be President of the United States, I could be. Because that's also what it means to be an American. Is that we have a separation of church and state. And we can truly believe in our houses of worship what particular roles are. When we walk outside, we act and we believe differently. and that's a good thing. I guess I was thinking a lot about my mother over the weekend because I thought of that, and I thought of my mother's devotion. But I thought of something else, and even though, given kind of my religious background and the part of the country that I'm from, you could make an assumption, and you could make an assumption that I came from a racist background. Okay? I'm a working class Irish Catholic gal from the eastern part of the country. But I grew up hating white supremacist groups. And it's not because my family was at all progressive. That's not the case at all. But the reality is, my father was stationed when he was in his military service in the Deep South, and my mother joined him. My father needed to live on base. He was taking care of rocket ships. He was a mechanic. And my mother kind of lived kind of in the swampland and was targeted by and was terrified of the white supremacist group that burned crosses because their religious faith told them to not only hate blacks, but to hate those like my mother. And that was done in the name of their savior, their definition of their savior. That's what it means to be a member of a generic Protestant denomination at that time. We can read this bill and you can see those definitions of any kind of sincerely held religious belief, whether or not compelled by or central to a system of religious belief in that white supremacist group that still exists in this nation. In our great nation, that group still exists, and they still hold those beliefs. And what this bill does now is allows that group, or any other religious group, to now discriminate against me. To not allow me, to allow a religious exemption, to not take my picture. To not see me hold hands with my family and take my picture. Or to allow me to buy a cake because of a morally held religious view. That is unacceptable in America. That is unacceptable. If I want to buy a cake with my family, if I want my picture taken, if I want to hold hands, that's what it means for me to be an American. I get to have my picture taken. I get to buy a cake.
Representative Winters.
Mr. Speaker, I appreciate some of what's been said, but I wonder if they're looking at a different bill than I am. Because the basis of civilization is to have people who live side by side, who may not agree on everything, but they're able to coexist. This bill is not an anti-discrimination bill. This bill is an anti-coercion bill. This is when someone attempts to walk in and demand that you must do something that violates your conscience. And it simply says you don't have to do that. Now, I've heard people say that in the past, because of religion, you are allowed to do certain things. And of course, there are lots of individuals who have misused religion throughout the ages, throughout the millennia, to do terrible things. But we've already made it very clear that that is not what this bill does. This bill does not step in the way of law that is already understood, already established. We're talking about when someone attempts to draw you into something that violates your conscience, you have the right to say no. That's all it does. It's a freedom of conscience bill. And I believe that the basis of freedom is that each person can live within the law and have the liberty to think freely. That is a basic right in this country. The opposite of freedom is the coercion of conscience. So to force a person to do an action that violates a religious liberty is to violate a basic freedom of conscience. This bill simply provides a framework for the courts to make a determination based upon the strict scrutiny clause understanding of the free exercise clause found within the Constitution. This bill is not forcing people to do anything. It simply allows for freedom. That's what it does. And so when you look at this, it simply asks the question, is there a compelling governmental interest, and what is the least restrictive means of furthering that compelling governmental interest? And that's the reason why 26 states have adopted this law by various means, and why the federal government has it as well. And we're only presenting it here because there is a gap in Wyoming law that this bill is designed to close. Now, when a person addresses issues that have happened in the past in other states, the issues of terrorism, which is exactly what would have happened in that situation with that well-known organization, and I do believe it was, that's exactly what it was. It was terrorism. That was thoroughly covered by law. And those people lost, as they ought to, by the laws of the land. But when we talk about a person being forced now to photograph, and they've made it very, very clear that any individual that comes in, no matter what their gender identity might be, they're more than willing to photograph that. But when they're asked to photograph the wedding itself, they're drawn into it. And that's where they said, we'll actually help you find someone else. We'll help you find a different location to find a person to take your photograph. But in our particular case, we don't want to be drawn into this circumstance. That's all. So all we're trying to do is say that, yes, that is your right. As an American citizen, you have the opportunity to not have your conscience coerced. And this also simply addresses just the governmental action regarding that. The government cannot then turn around and sue you or fine you because you say, this hurts my conscience. That's what we're trying to do. We're not trying to discriminate. We're trying to protect the basic freedoms of every citizen in this country. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First, Mr. Speaker, you know, you don't really see me weigh in on issues like this very often. But there's something that hasn't been said here that needs to be said, and that involves the pushback that I hear, and I'm sure you've heard too, that comes from religion itself. And it comes from religious or church members, church clergy. And they have a fear that the bill such as this seems to potentially focus religion to the mere purpose of providing a veil or a shield to the law. But we're a nation of laws. We live by laws. I hope all of you take into account in your vote if you think you would like to risk putting your own religion or your own church in such a position. Mainstream religion thinks they're being put into an untenable position like this, and I think that hasn't been said yet. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In response to the last comments, and definitely on in support of this bill, I would like to recall to your memory the 65 people who were here when just before this bill was read in support of this bill. And so they are represent a network of pastors from across this entire state, and they are in support of this bill. They have thoroughly vetted it and believe that it fits hand in glove with our Constitution, which I would like to read to you. The free exercise and enjoyment of religious profession and worship without discrimination or preference shall be forever guaranteed in this state, and no person shall be rendered incompetent to hold office or trust or profit or to serve as a witness or juror because of his opinion on any matter of religious belief whatever. But liberty of conscience hereby secured shall not be construed as to excuse acts of licentiousness or justify practices inconsistent with the peace or safety of the state. This is just simply working hand in glove with our Constitution and making sure that our consciences are, moral consciences are protected. As Representative Halverson has brought, as the good representative that spoke on this bill before has indicated, we have this in our health statutes, and it is not something new to our state. It's something that we have always honored and wanted to secure, and so I would just urge your support of this bill. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, this has been a good discussion. I do want to remind you of just a few things. You know, we are blessed in this country to have the constitutional provisions we do, both at the federal level and the state level. And our fourth president, who wrote our Bill of Rights, he felt very strongly about the separation of church and state. And he wrote repeatedly about how what happened in Europe was not going to happen in North America, and that he believed strongly in the separation of the civil and the ecclesiastical. And he wrote repeatedly on that subject. And great quotes out there if you want to look them up. And so in doing some thinking about this over the weekend, and what really bothers me about this bill are a couple things. One, I don't know what it's going to do. It's not written the same way as other bills in other states. It has confusing language in it. It talks about burden. It talks about substantial burden. Moral conscience, that's a new feature. That's not a religious belief. But why are we afraid to just rely on the constitutional provisions that have served us so well? We are truly blessed to live in a country where we can believe, not believe, change religions. Most of the world does not enjoy that freedom. And we should be proud of our constitutional provisions and not try to either water them down or strengthen them with bad statutory language. But it finally hit me yesterday, actually, while I was in church, why this bill really bothers me. My faith is my faith, and I am ultimately responsible for nurturing that faith, teaching it to my children, and living that faith. And that would be true even if we didn't have the constitutional provisions that we have, but we are blessed to have those. I do not need the government's help to support my faith. That's my job. And I think that is ultimately why this bill is so offensive to me. We're asking the government to do something that's really all our individual choice and responsibility. Thank you. And I withdraw the amendment.
Third reading amendment number 2 has been withdrawn. We're back on the bill. House Bill 83, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd, excused. Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Dayton.
No.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
No.
Pelkey.
No.
Petroff.
No.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
No.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
No.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 36 aye, 23 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 83, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 83 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 90. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 90 from Representative Croker, an act relating to education, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 90, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will read the roll. Call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
No.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd, excused. Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy. Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Dayton.
No.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Esquivel. Aye.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
No.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden. McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
No.
Pelkey.
No.
Petroff.
No.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
No.
Pinnell.
No.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
No.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
No.
Walters.
No.
Wilson. Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Harvey. No to aye. Lockhart. No to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 39 aye, 20 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 90, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 90 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 105. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 105 from Representative Blackburn, an act relating to the administration of government, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 105, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd, excused. Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey. Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Yagi, aye to no. Larson Lloyd, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 45 aye, 14 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 105, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 105 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 114. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 114 from Representative Yagi, an act relating to concealed weapons, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There are four amendments proposed to this bill. Let me have one look here. We're going to consider those amendments in the order they are numbered. Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm moving third reading amendment number one to House Bill 114 for the sponsor. Basically, what this first amendment does is insert that upon signing an affidavit of liability with the entity, and after the weapon is rendered unloaded and secure to be safe, it adds that to page 2, line 3. That's the basics of the amendment. Also on page 3, deletes lines 2 through 3.
Discussion on the amendment. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I ask you to reject this amendment on the purpose that one of the states far to our west that has one of the highest gun violence rates in the nation also ask that you unload your weapon and carry it in a safe manner, and that does no to little good. Here in Wyoming, we've got a really good rate of keeping violence at bay by our carry options within the state, and I think it would just do to let this bill go through as a way that to actually have these weapons within these public places. It just goes to show that the results have been shown that in Utah, which this bill reflects, that works.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Also on and against this amendment, I do want to make it clear what this does. It would put an unreasonable burden on everybody. Any time you need to walk into anything that's covered here, you have to fill out paperwork. Signing an affidavit of liability with the entity, that's beyond ridiculous. If you don't like the bill, just vote against it. But please do not support this amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The sponsor did convey to me that his concerns are for most of those accidental shootings that happen. Just this past week, there was one in the state to the west where a child got a hold of a gun and accidentally shot his mother. Didn't happen in a school setting, but I think that was the concerns of the sponsor, and that's about it.
We're voting on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 114. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number one has failed. We're now on third reading amendment number two to House Bill 114. Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House reading amendment number two to, I'm sorry, I move
Third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 114 and ask for your favorable consideration. What this amendment does is carve a very narrow exception for university and college child care facilities so that it allows for an exception on universities and colleges where there's child care services are provided as a part of an accredited education program. And friends, the reason for this exception is that there is concern about maintaining accreditation for these types of facilities without having this exception carved out. So I stand for any questions or call for the question.
Discussion on the amendment, Representative Coker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment, to me, this is kind of a red herring being thrown out because there are several states that already have this law in the books, and none of them seem to struggle with accreditation in their facilities. If that were an issue in those states, we would have heard about it. So I don't think this is relevant to the bill. I think it's just another attack on it, so I would ask you to resist this amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Connolly.
Mr. Speaker, I call for the question.
Question being called. We're voting on third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 114. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 14 has failed. We're now on third reading amendment number 3. To House Bill 14, Representative Paxton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 114 and ask for your favorable consideration. This amendment would simply allow local school districts to decide if they wanted to allow concealed carry in their schools or not. And hopefully, if they do allow the concealed carry, that the school district would be free to promulgate rules under which that could happen. It does not mandate gun-free zones, but rather puts the decision-making process in the hands of the local citizens. I am not a gun hater. I was trained by the Army to be a military policeman. I belong to a national organization that advocates for Second Amendment rights. I have a concealed carry permit. But the safety of my kids and my grandkids trumps all. We heard last week that the state to the southwest of us passed a similar bill to House Bill 114, and that since that time, there have been no school shootings. This is true, but a search of the internet does not show any school shootings before the bill was passed either. What it does show is an incident where an elementary teacher who had a concealed carry permit accidentally shot herself in the leg. Fortunately, she is recovering and no students were injured, but it has sparked a conversation about revisiting the law. There is no doubt that accidents happen and more guns mean that we have more potential for accidents. We have a group of highly qualified individuals here in Wyoming that have been working on school safety for several months. One of their goals was to look at the security from a standpoint of keeping the bad actors out of the building. Once an intruder is inside the building, it is nearly impossible to prevent them from causing harm, even if someone with concealed carry just happens to be close at hand. I submit to you that prevention is the most prudent course of action. Each of our communities are unique and thereby require unique solutions to our problems. Passage of this amendment will put the decision-making process and the safety of our kids where it belongs, in the hands of the local citizens. On and for the amendment, against the bill.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also have all the things that was previously mentioned, and I also am very concerned with the safety of my kids when I was there and my grandkids that are there now. And I think this repealing gun-free zones is something we really need to consider.
One of our founding fathers said, "Those who trade liberty for security have neither." Now that's a pretty profound statement. And if we're going to continue to make laws and continue to make laws, I'm not sure we're headed in the right direction. I had a public safety officer from the state that we were talking about that's had this for 15 years said they like the good guys, meaning the concealed carry permit holders, to be able to carry in their schools. And that gives the bad guys, who don't care what the laws are, something to think about as they go in. And I would like to tell you that most of the bad shootings, just about every bad shooting, has been in a gun-free zone. And I would say that with 48 school districts letting each district decide what they want to do, there would be no uniformity. You would have not a clue what you're supposed to do going from the school next to me, going over from my school to another school. And I would wonder if this is just another form of keeping guns out. Again, the bad guys just really don't care what we're saying. When we passed the concealed carry without a permit, some of these same exact arguments were made. There will be shootings. There will be accidents. There will be. And what has happened since we passed that in 2011? Nothing. Crime rate has gone down. So I'm wondering if this is something we need to really resist. We had an onslaught of amendments when we were passing that bill, trying to water it down and water it down. Well, we withstood those, and I'm wondering if this is the same thing we need to withstand. I will say that this changes the intent quite a bit of what I was trying to do, and in Rules Committee, last week or the week before, we tried to get the ayes and nays called for on all the budget amendments. And the reasoning, it's a little bit onerous, but if you'd like to call for the ayes and nays on an amendment so every one of our constituents can see how we're voting on things like this, it's a good idea. So I would like to call for the ayes and nays on this vote, on this amendment.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment, this is just another attempt to usurp the intent of the bill. Now, it has some appealing attributes. I mean, why not give it into the hands of our local school board members who are elected by the public and let them make the decision? However, I'm afraid that most of these will succumb to political pressure that exists today, and they'll attempt to have these gun-free, or they would attempt to have these gun-free zones. I would submit to you, venture a guess, that in every school where they've had a shooting, I would bet that there was a gun-free zone sign on every one of those campuses. Now, what does that tell you? It tells you that people who are bent on destruction are not going to come to a sign and say, uh-oh, I guess I can't bring my gun in there. That's not what they're going to do. That's not what they have done. Instead, what those signs do is it disarms our law-abiding citizens from protecting themselves. That's exactly what those gun-free zones do. State to the left of us is a prime example. 15 years that shows that this type of bill does work. And folks, we ought to have some confidence in that. I don't have a whole lot of confidence in a gun-free zone sign. I don't have any confidence in that at all. I have confidence in that it disarms regular law-abiding citizens from protecting themselves. But I have no confidence whatsoever that that is going to deter someone who is bent on destruction from hurting other people. Now, ask yourself, If you were in that situation, would you rather be an armed citizen? If you're the type of person that owns a gun, maybe you have a concealed carry, and you would want to go into a place where you could protect yourself or protect others. And folks, that's the type of person that I want to be. I want to be somewhere where I can protect myself, where I can protect my family, and not have to worry 8 minutes later after I call 911, probably because in those 8 minutes, harm and destruction might come to my family. So I would urge you to oppose this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I stand on in support of this amendment. I think the best government is that closest to the people. And I think it's behooves us to trust our local elected boards of education to decide what's best in their schools, in our communities. They are elected by us at a local level. I know my districts do not support this bill because of this provision that would allow anybody with a conceal and carry to carry in a school. So I would urge you to support the amendment.
Representative Coker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I find it very telling that that the only real factual argument I've heard against this bill is one accidental shooting that's destroyed a toilet. I can point to several instances where we've seen that gun-free zones don't work and lives have been lost. And the only fact, there's a lot of concern about all these emotional arguments about what will happen or what could happen, but the fact is none of them have happened except for one toilet getting destroyed. So I think it's pretty clear when that's the most extreme example of anybody can come up for why this bill won't work. I think it shows that that's not the case. The other thing I want to touch on is the concept of local control. This is a constitutional rights issue. Our Wyoming Constitution makes it clear that our citizens have a right to carry a firearm and protect themselves. And when it comes to local control, we would not allow our local school districts to infringe on any other protected constitutional rights. So I don't see why this one is different. I think it's important to have consistency throughout the states, and not 48 different different rules. We wouldn't allow 48 different rules on other constitutional issues, or letting school districts, individual school districts, take away other constitutional rights just because the local school board thinks it's a good idea. So I would ask you to resist this amendment.
Representative Gurr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of the amendment and in favor, in support of the bill as well. And I just want to touch on the fact that this comes down to local control, and the schools are a bit different than some of the others because they do have a compelling state interest to protect our children. And so what we look at, let me back up. One of the things is I've always felt as if one of the best things we could do is arm our school teachers. Okay? But we have to balance, and I still think that's a good idea. This amendment just allows those districts to be able to make those decisions based upon their circumstances. And this is a little bit different because we're taking all of our children and we're handing them over to the school districts and relying upon the school districts to protect those children. And the argument is we'd have 48 different policies. That's fine with me because there are 48 different districts that have 48 different circumstances. Where I'm at, nothing could be better than the administration and the school board saying, hey, you know what? One of our schools is 30 miles away from any law enforcement. What could be better than having a trained teacher, or a teacher or an administrative member who's went through the training carrying a concealed weapon legally in that classroom there to protect our children? I think that's a good idea, but I think that issue comes down to the school board, the people who are directly responsible for our children, directly responsible to the parents and the citizens. So I think this is a great bill. I really do, but I think this amendment makes it even better. And so I support this amendment. Also, Mr. Speaker, because I feel so strongly on this issue and because Rule 12.4 does require two members to call for the ayes and the noes, I will be that second member to request that.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment, with all due respect to our law enforcement officers throughout this nation, do you guys know who has a better record than law enforcement when it comes to safety and firearms? Concealed carry permit holders. And that's a fact, and you can look it up. Reject this amendment on the premise that for some reason only those trained by the state, specifically for use with the state, are the best option for our schools. Thank you.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of this amendment, and for a very simple reason. I have been contacted by my school district. We are basically passing along an unfunded mandate back to the school districts, and we should give them the option of opting out. My school district has learned that if this type of law were to be in place, our insurance carrier would either drop the district or their insurance rates would go up. And I think before we impose that sort of burden on a school district or any local entity, we ought to give them the option of opting out.
Chairman Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking on and for the amendment, strikes me as strange that we charge the local people the safety, care, and education of our youth. But then we come along and say, except that you can carry a gun, a concealed gun, if you will, onto the school grounds. What purpose are you carrying a gun onto the school ground? Are you afraid one of the children that are in the school are going to shoot you? What purpose is being served? We've lost confidence, as has been stated. We've lost confidence in our government. We've lost confidence, apparently, in ourselves. It's strange to me that we come up here every year for the last number of years and we have a bill on guns. We just briefly passed over today that we've eliminated the need for getting a concealed permit. You do not have to get a permit to have a concealed arm on you. We changed that. We're proud of that. But now we're saying that you can have a concealed, you don't have to have a concealed permit, but you can carry it on to the school grounds. Just seems to me that at least sometime or another we have some kind of a bend of a relationship of confidence in our local school. Give them the opportunity at least to try and protect our youth. On and for the amendment.
Representative Pelkey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking in favor of the amendment, I just want to underscore we do have a number of different school districts, and my school district, the school in which my daughter attends, is different than school districts in other parts of the state. Let's leave the decision as to whether or not to allow guns in our children's schools to the school boards that are more familiar with the circumstances surrounding those schools. Many of us here often speak in favor of local control, and it's ironic now that when one critical issue, the health and safety of our children, comes up, that we as the body should be the one making the decision. I support leaving that decision to the local school boards if we do that. Laramie's school district is quite different than schools in Hanna, and I'm getting pointed at because I'm talking about that city across the hill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll get the hang of this eventually. School districts around the state have different circumstances. Let the school boards make that decision.
Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like rise to speak in favor of the amendment. I won't belabor the local control issue. I believe in that, not only for school districts, but for other local entities that local option is a good thing for. I'd also like to speak out on both sides of this issue. People are citing data and what goes on in other states, and I caution you, these are not scientific studies, because there are so many variables involved in analyzing these situations. This is largely anecdotal evidence, and anecdotal evidence is a good thing, but I don't believe it is a basis for making a decision on this subject. Thank you very much.
Representative Pieperinen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For the bill, against the amendment. I think we're making this issue much more troublesome and complex than it needs to be. I think we need to be guided by principles, founding principles, principles that we upheld our hand and swore to uphold. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, period. Not by legislatures, not by school boards, not by anybody.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, I think we are confusing our potential regulation here with actual outcomes. If we say that guns are not to be carried on the school grounds, that does not thereby make it so. Last year, my own daughter's school, right here, a public school in this city, informed the parents that they had come across a student in the school with a firearm. Okay, so obviously he wasn't a concealed carry permit holder because he was too young, but the law already exists that there are to be no firearms in the schools. The law exists that nobody of his age could have a firearm. Many laws that are already existing were broken in this situation. So fortunately, he was a knuckleheaded student with a firearm instead of a madman trying to kill 50 people. But my point being is that under current law, where it was illegal for him to be there and illegal for him to have the gun, he was nonetheless there. And for us to say that we don't want concealed carry permit holders in the school merely means that in a situation like that, the only gun in the school would have been the madman. So I think we need to remember that, kind of like our marijuana bill, we kind of all agreed that making it illegal didn't stop people from smoking marijuana. Making guns in school illegal doesn't necessarily stop people from bringing guns into schools. The question is, do we want other people than the killer to have a gun in the school?
Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is kind of a tough one, because a year ago I discussed this same issue. The bill itself has been addressed several times, and I'm in favor of it. I think it anything is safer than a gun-free zone, as the previous speaker just alluded to. I guess the biggest question I've got to ask is how are we going to get legislation to repeal the gun zones in place? And sometimes you have to do it in increments. You can't have all your rights restored, then take what you can, and maybe this amendment addresses that pretty well. Still makes it a tough one on principle. There's no doubt about that. I guess I'm not sure what I'm going to do with the amendment. But I do want my grandchildren to be safe in the school, and a gun-free zone is the worst possible option. But I also want something that passes through that allows the staff or somebody to be armed in, especially rural school districts that have no protection whatsoever. So, anyway, I'm not just sure what I'll say about the amendment, but I'm in favor of repealing the gun-free zones, and either one of these do. The other thing I'd say is a concealed carry doesn't open it up for anybody. It's got its limits, too, on the Second Amendment. You probably ought to take that in as you weigh this deal. Thank you.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment for the bill, you know, I'm worried, of course, about the lone person that maybe has some mental issues that's been recent attacks around the country. But frankly, I'm far more worried about some coordinated attack like occurred in that large country in the a continent on the other side of us, where they killed hundreds at one time raiding into the school. And with the efforts that are going on now nationally in these areas overseas to fight these people seems to not be sufficient to render them, you know, not effective. So what would happen if, you know, just a simple like the attacks that occurred 14 years ago with the airplanes? It's if it's a coordinated multiple attack, you could see thousands killed at one time. I just as soon having the school principals, the administrators, the janitors, those that feel comfortable with firearms to have access to those firearms. So on and against the amendment and for the bill.
Representative Jennings.
Mr. Chairman, I'm on and against the amendment. I think the previous statement was fit it very good. Do we only want the killer to be the only one that has a gun there?
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was not going to get up and I was not going to speak, and I was just going to vote. But as I listened to the testimony, there's a lot of things that that went through my mind. I don't know how many years ago, more than 15 years ago, I was in my classroom and I had a student come in and says, there's somebody in the parking lot shooting up the cars. And I think that when you become a teacher, they automatically put a brain block in there, because I had two students that were gone. It was during a period to where the students were working on homework, and most of my students didn't come with breakfast. So I sent them off to breakfast, and sometimes while they were waiting for breakfast, they went off to have a smoke in the parking lot. So I immediately ran down to make sure that my students were in the snack bar, and they weren't. So then what happened is, again, that brain block went in, and I went out to the parking lot looking to make sure that my students were okay and they were not around any danger. There was police officers that were running around with shotguns and other guns pulled, and that was the dumbest thing that I've probably ever done as a teacher. When we had the shooting back east, I came and kind of changed my views. I think that there has to be more school resource officers. Definitely there needed to be more training for teachers. Teachers should not run into the parking lot where somebody's shooting up the cars. That's not the brightest things. One of the benefits of being in this position is the police officers seek my input a lot. So just casually I said, what would have happened if I would have come out there with a gun pulled? And they said, we would have shot you and we would have asked questions later. There has to be some rules. There has to be some training. Let me emphasize, there has to be some training. There has to be mechanisms for the schools to promote safe handling of guns within the classrooms if this bill passes. If you don't have that, then you increase the probability of toilets or legs to be shattered. I have my opinion, and I'm going to vote for it. But for teachers and administrators, saving our kids, and if you've looked at a lot of these shootings, there is a lot of heroes that are called administrators or called teachers, and armed with nothing more than their sense of right, they've helped limit the destructions. Some sort of regulation, I don't like that word, but some sort of rules to where that we can ensure that people, the kids are safe within the schools and the people that are carrying the weapons are doing that in the best possible, the safest possible way. Thank you.
Representative Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for this amendment puts the power back into the school districts. It puts it back into those elected people that you and I and every other person in the state of Wyoming votes for to be the person or the group of people that guide your district, the ones that help form curriculum, the ones that decide whether or not your students get on the right side of the bus or cross across the roadway before they get on the bus. Those are the kind of decisions they worry about, safety of the students all the time. This is another safety issue for students. It should remain within the local school boards, and that's where it should stay. Thank you.
Representative Swanser, Dan.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. After the debate, I actually just have a question to help make up my mind, if someone could answer it. On concealed weapons and firearms, do we allow non-lethal concealed weapons in schools now, things like tasers or mace or other type of protections? Are those covered under a concealed carry? Does getting a concealed carry license allow you to also carry non-lethal means of protection? If someone could just elucidate that for me and how it works now, that would be helpful for my vote.
Anyone else for the first time? There's only 11 of you left. Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wanted to address a couple concerns that came up. To the last question that was asked, I actually don't know the answer to that one. So I would assume that would probably vary around the state. One speaker made the argument that, well, we can't have all our rights restored at once. Well, if there are rights, they should never have been taken away in the first place. So we absolutely can. There was some talk about concealed carry without a permit, but one thing I do want to stress is this bill specifically only allows people holding a concealed carry permit to carry. It only lifts the restrictions on those people with a permit. So it would not allow somebody who does not have a permit and has not undergone the background checks and all that to carry in these restricted areas. And again, we haven't heard anything about the schools in the states where this is allowed, not having issues with their insurance and premiums and things. And again, I want to emphasize that one thing that we do know is that the policy of gun-free zones doesn't work. I was living in the state to our south when they had that well-publicized school shooting, and it hit home to me very personally because I happened to spend the evening after that shooting with one of my college roommates who was a teacher in that district, and he had one of the students who was killed in his class the year before. So it was something that really hit home, and it just really breaks my heart when I think back to some of the stories from that school shooting about a teacher who protected some students and barricaded them in the library and got them to hide behind a table. And he may have saved some lives because his barricade slowed the shooters down before they finally got in and killed him and the students he was protecting. And I just think back to that and think, how many lives could he have saved if instead of just relying on those shooters not being able to get through a barricade, if he had had a firearm and had had the students behind him and had actually been able to protect them and meet that force with force, because the laws don't work. And again, in that shooting, I believe it was 32. It was more than 30 laws that those shooters violated. So, again, more laws and more restrictions don't work because they don't stop a bad guy with a firearm from getting in there. And the only way to meet that force is to allow those who are legal, responsible citizens to be able to meet that deadly force with deadly force and protect our students. So I would ask you to vote against the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I know we're running long. I want to keep this short, but felt compelled to address this point. Many have been saying, well, leave it up to local control, and I love the idea of local control. However, local control does not trump the Constitution. Our Constitution in Article 1, Section 24 says, the right of citizens to bear arms in defense of themselves and of the state shall not be denied. When a parent enrolls their child in public school, they do not give up their right to defend themselves. There are many reasons that parents come to a school that may have a conceal and carry, and maybe that they want to protect themselves. And just because they go to a school then to, I don't know, get their kid out for an appointment doesn't mean that they have to disarm themselves to go on to that public school. It says in our Constitution, their right to defend themselves shall not be denied. And so local control does not trump our Constitution in this case. Thank you.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A couple things that I heard, just things to think about. We have 48 school districts. What if some of our school districts just say no? We don't want guns in our school districts. That's what we're trying to avoid with this repealing gun-free zones. Another thing, only permit holders are able to carry in school according to this bill. So you've had to have a background check before you can ever get one of these permits. And we don't have all that many people in the state of Wyoming that have concealed carry permits. Don't know if you realize that. The third thing, the incidences that I keep hearing about are going to happen do not happen. They just have not happened. And I just think we like the studies, we like to look at things, and here's a 15-year study with results. And again, just quoting our founding fathers, those who trade liberty for security have neither. So I would recommend that we defeat this amendment and vote for the bill. Thank you.
Anyone else for the second time prior to the sponsor? Chairman Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It applies only to those that carry a permit. Now, how do we know that? Who's going to enforce coming onto the grounds without a permit? But I've got a concealed weapon. Principles and rights versus responsibility. If we aren't responsible, are we entitled to abuse the right? I don't think so. You have a voice, and with that voice you have a right. But you can't shout fire in a crowded room. Huh, you're right. So you kill several people with your right. You have a gun. You have a right. I have several guns. I have several rights, I guess. I do not have a permit. I have never carried a permit. I don't have a gun with me now. I don't have one in this community. But I recognize that I have a responsibility when I use my guns. When I take them out of my home, I have a responsibility. And that responsibility is not to endanger anybody, friend or foe, with that gun. I don't know of anybody that thinks that they have a responsibility to their young when we sit here and provide for them the endangerment of a free area. It's endangerment in the eyes of some. I don't think it's an endangerment at all. I think it's a matter of carrying out the right with the responsibility. And in some instances, the responsibility is equal to or greater than the right. Voting for the amendment.
Anyone else for the second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Paxton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the robust debate that we've just had. And I think we've probably ridden this horse just about far enough. But I do have one final comment to make, and that is, you know, having a concealed carry permit means that you've undergone a background check. It means that you've had some training in firearms handling. But it does not mean that you can make a precision shot in a highly emotionally charged situation surrounded by innocent people. I submit to you that this is still a bill about local control. Do you trust your school board?
We're voting on third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 114. The ayes and nays have been called for and seconded. The clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd excused. Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds. Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
No.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
No.
Jennings.
No.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
No.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
No.
Lockhart. Laux,
no.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
no.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
no.
Piperinen,
no.
Pinnell,
no.
Reeder,
no.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
no.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne, Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Kennedy, aye to no. Hunt, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 27 aye, 32 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 114 has failed. We're now on third reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 114. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We covered most of the points on the last amendment, but I still would like to move third reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 114, and I will withdraw it at the appropriate time. Mr. Speaker, I rise in opposition to this bill and in support of the amendment, just to provide a voice to the silent majority out there and the ones who were not so silent over the weekend contacting me, expressing concern about this bill. Concern that their voices weren't being heard. I think we do hear a lot from advocates for so-called Second Amendment rights, They fill our email boxes. They say disparaging things about us on social media. But I don't believe that they represent the majority. So that's why I bring this amendment. But I also, so we can get on with our work, just want to point out that our current law is not unconstitutional. There has been no court case, not even a court challenge, to our current law. And I think as the good representative from Sheridan said in the last debate, the debate on the last amendment, there are limitations on all of our rights. And we only have to look at our history to support the notion that some reasonable restraint on our Second Amendment has been upheld in this state since statehood. Many of our larger municipalities in territorial days passed ordinances restricting firearms and other weapons within the city limits. Those city ordinances continued after statehood and at least through World War II. They were never challenged. And it also seems likely that a lot of the founding fathers, and at that time I'm guessing 99% of them were founding fathers, of our state, the ones who adopted the ordinances, most likely they participated, or at least some of them did, in our constitutional convention. So vote for this bill if you want to. But don't get caught up in phony constitutional arguments. We have no reason to believe that our existing law is unconstitutional. Historically, we've had stricter requirements on the books. They were never challenged. And they were put in place by people who were here when we became a state. So if you want to vote for the bill, do it because you think it's good policy. But don't do it because you think the Constitution requires it.
Discussion on the amendment. Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Returning to my past life as a county commissioner and for many years chairman of that board, when we dealt with contentious issues, rather than dealing with 60 of our colleagues, we were often dealing with a room full of very impassioned people. And the task of maintaining order and civility and the ability for rational discourse to occur was often very difficult. And I think it would be only made more difficult if this bill passes. So I rise to speak on and against House Bill 114.
Further discussion on the amendment. Last chance before the sponsor. Anyone who wishes to speak a second time before the sponsor? Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, this is not a law about upholding the Constitution. So vote for good policy and vote against the bill. And with that, I withdraw the amendment.
Third reading, amendment number 4 has been withdrawn. House Bill 114, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
No.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd excused. Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Dayton.
No.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards. Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
oh.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
no.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
no.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
no.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
No.
Pelkey.
No.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
No.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 42 aye, 17 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 114, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 14 is passed. 114 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 166. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 166 from Representative Dan Swanitzer, an act relating to electrical safety and fire prevention, be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Representative Burkhardt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 166 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, all I've done is gone into the previous amendments, remove the wording about adopted and most current, and specified that it is the 2012 edition of the International Building Code, which is the most current edition. That takes care of the problem that I see, and would ask for your favorable consideration.
Representative Swanitzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising in favor of the amendment. While it's not the 2015 code, 2012 code is much better than the 1960s. So would ask for your favorable consideration and positive vote on the amendment.
Representative Burkhardt, do you have anything else to say?
No, Mr. Speaker. Thank you.
Question being called. We're voting on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 166. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 166 has passed. House Bill 166, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird excused. Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas. Nicholas. Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Nicholas. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Conley, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
House Bill 166, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 166 has passed the House. Messages from the Senate.
Message number 176, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below failed to pass the Senate third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 41, Employee Online Privacy, Ayes 13, Noes 17, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 177, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 50, Tribal Liaisons. Ayes 23, noes 7, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 178, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 93, County Road Fund Pavement Management. Ayes 26, noes 4, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 179. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file 99, Wyoming Pharmacy Act Amendments, ayes 30, no 0. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 180. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file 105. Game and Fish Roundup Program, ayes 29, noes 1, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 181, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 117, Air Quality Construction Permitting, ayes 27, noes 3, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Standing committee reports.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 149, Special Non-Resident Hunting License Draw, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Clem, Freeman, Kirkbride, Larson, Petroff, Schwartz, and Steinmetz. One no vote, Representative Barlow, signed by Representative Petroff, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, who has referred House Bill 182, Public Assistance Eligibility, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representative Kennedy, Kasperic, Larson, Lockhart, Summers, Walters. Two no votes, Representative Edmonds and Gay, and one excuse, Representative Byrd, signed Representative Lockhart, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whose referred House Bill 193, Burial Teams, respectfully reports same back to the House with a due pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Kennedy, Edmonds, Gay, Kasperic, Larson, Lockhart, Summers and Walters, one excuse, Representative Byrd, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business and Economic Development, to whom is referred House Bill 215, Community Juvenile Services Boards-Creation, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Canvey, Kasperic, Larson, Lockhart, Summers, Walters, two no votes, Representative Edmonds and Gay, one excuse, Representative Byrd, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
Introduction, reading, and reference of bills. First bill for our consideration is House Bill 227. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 227 from Representative Gay, an act relating to public health.
House Bill 227 is referred to Appropriations Committee Number 2. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 231.
House Bill 231 from Representative Baker, an act relating to Hathaway Scholarship Program.
House Bill 231 is referred to Education Committee Number 4. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 165.
House Bill 165 from Representative Blackburn, an act relating to public lands.
House Bill 165 is referred to Agriculture Committee Number 5. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 228.
House Bill 228 from Representative Greer, an act relating to real property.
House Bill 228 is referred to Corporations Committee Number 7. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 232.
House Bill 232 from Representative Nicholas, an act relating to public meetings.
House Bill 232 is referred to Corporations Committee Number 7. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 223.
House Bill 223 from Representative Dave Zwanitzer, an act relating to the Department of Transportation.
House Bill 223 is referred to Transportation Committee Number 8. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 233.
House Bill 233 from Representative Summers, an act relating to banks and banking.
House Bill 233 is referred to Minerals Committee Number 9. Re-referrals. Representative Kasparek, we now have the horse in front of the cart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to refer from Minerals, House Bill 193, to Appropriations Committee Number 2.
House Bill 193 is re-referred to Appropriations Committee Number 2. We're now at the order of business of consideration of bills on general file. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This may be the shortest committee of the whole, but we will start. Mr. Chairman, I move that the House resolve itself into the committee of the whole. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I will give you the list. I'd also like to let you know the lay of the land. We will adjourn on or about noon until 3 p.m., come back, and my intentions would be that we work until about 4:30 today, our general file, so that we can respect the two committees that have several bills upon adjournment today. Do note that we do have a long general file, and you probably have seen we have a lot of bills that have come in since Friday. It's going to be a heavy week. So we need to work efficiently. So thank you for the heavy lifting. And with that, Mr. Speaker, the general file is House Bill 103, House Joint Resolution 3, House Bill 108, 130, 142, 146, 137, House Bill 126, 159, 122, 180, 77, 112, House Joint Resolution 7, 172, 135, 154, 155, 157, 136, 181, 143, 121, 177, 198, 209, House Joint Resolution 9, and House Bill 128. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Representative Wilson.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 103. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 103 from Representative Hunt, an act relating to career technical education, establishing a merit career technical education student scholarship endowment fund and an expenditure account, providing funding for future scholarships, providing for redistribution of federal coal lease bonus revenues, providing for a task force to study and prepare plans for implementation of a career technical education student scholarship program, and providing for effective dates. Madam Chairman, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 103, Merit Career Technical Scholarships, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representative Freeman, Hunt, Northrop, Patton, Paxton, Summers, and Throne. Two no votes, Representative Yeagy and Pieperinen, signed by Representative Patton. Further reviewed by your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred House Bill 103. They respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, and Stubson. One no vote, Representative Nicholas, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Patton?
Madam Chairman, I move that when the committee of the report, when the committee of the whole rises and reports that it do so with the recommendation that House Bill numbered 103 do pass the amendment and the explanation of the bill, I'll yield the floor to Representative Hunt.
Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Madam Chairman, this bill is done with the intent that there would be a broader focus put on the opportunities that are out there for our kids, our students, to pursue technical education, career, vocational trade crafts. And so before I get too far into it, I would also mention that there is a Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, and I will quickly explain that. I would move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1. All this does on page 6, line 14, is in the creation of this task force, it does get rid of one of the positions that would be on the task force, which is the representative of a private career technical education institution. That's lines 14 and 15 on page 6. And my reason for getting rid of that is simply because this deals with public schools and the community college system, and so any institution that is for-profit education is a bridge that we need to cross later. It's a totally separate issue. So anyway, if there's no further discussion or questions on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, I'd call for the question on it.
Stand committee. No. Committee of the Whole. Oh, John didn't move Committee of the Whole or Stand Committee Amendment, did he? Just a minute.
Madam Chairman, my apologies. There's also a standing committee amendment.
Representative Hunt, could you just clarify? You've moved the bill, and are you just moving the first standing committee amendment? Are you moving consideration of the standing committee amendment number 1 right now?
Madam Chairman, initially I moved the consideration of the Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, but there is a standing committee amendment to be dealt with first. So I would temporarily withdraw my motion to consider Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1.
Representative Hunt, we have to do the standing committee amendments first.
Yeah, Madam Chairman, I understand that. We put the cart before the horse.
Chairman Patton, having too many pieces of paper here.
I move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment 103, number 1, and move its explanation to the good representative in the Northeast.
Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My apologies for that. If there's no further discussion on Standing Committee Amendment 1, I would call for the question on it.
Is there any discussion on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1? Question being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. We are, I believe, now on Standing Committee Amendment Number 2. Is Chairman Harshman. Chairman Harshman, there you are.
Thank you, Madam Chair. At this time, I move Standing Committee Amendment Number 2 to House Bill 103 and ask for your favorable consideration. Members, we just simply reduced the price. This bill started out as a $125 million bill. It was reduced to a study bill at $50,000 and school foundation dollars. And we just thought that looking at the scope of the study, and part of it tries to deal with the recalibration issues and those kind of things, that $20,000 would be more than enough to accomplish this type of study. So I'd stand for any questions, urge your adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment.
Is there any discussion? Representative Yagi. Or I beg your pardon, Representative Allen, were you waiting to discuss the Standing Committee Number 2? No. Representative Yagi.
Thank you. Madam Chair, for the appropriations chairman, we reduced it from the amendment says $250,000. You said $125 million, $250,000, and then you said $30,000, and now it's $50,000. am I reading things wrong? And while you're contemplating that one, as you looked at this and providing funding for this, do we not have a number of committees looking at studies like this going on? So this appropriation for another committee, is it already being done in your knowledge as, you know, we're looking at this same, looking at career technical information to come and gather information? Is it not already being done? That's my question, I guess. And the numbers, please. Thank you.
Chairman Hushman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The, you know, I think we can talk about all those other issues on other committees and those kind of things in discussing the merits of the bill. This bill, though, it came to us in committee number two with a $50,000 appropriation is what was left in it, and that is in section four of the bill on page 11. And we simply felt that this could easily be accomplished with less money. And talking about the travel and those folks who are on the committee, and thought we could easily accomplish this with a $20,000 appropriation. So that's the number. But if you read the fiscal note, to answer the good representative from the Southwest, you can see where the original intent of the bill was to go there with the $125 million comment. But that's really doesn't have anything to do with Standing Committee Amendment number 2. It's really the appropriation for the study, which we felt could be accomplished with $20,000.
Representative Greer.
Yeah, Madam Chairwoman, to follow up on the good chair's comments too, the committee number 2 also took out on page 10, when you look at it, it was authorizing the task force to be able to retain consultants, and we removed that language, and that was also consideration for the reduction in the appropriation as well, just for the body's information.
Is there any further discussion on the amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment number 2, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Standing Committee Amendment number 2 has passed. We are back on Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1. Representative Hunt, I think we may have heard all that you wanted to say, but is there anything else to add?
No, thank you, Madam Chairman. If there's no further questions on Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1, I'd call for the question on it.
Although the question being called on Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 to House Bill 103, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 has passed. We are back on the bill. Is there any discussion on the bill? Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Well, this bill is sort of a shell of its former shell, but that's all right, because it probably started out being a little overly ambitious. In committee, if you want to follow along quickly through the bill, please disregard everything up to starting with Section 3 on page 6. We struck the first two sections out in the Education Committee. So what is left has nothing to do with creating any funding for a separate scholarship program. All that this does is creates a task force that would look at setting up the merits for having career and vocational and technical education. The reason that I bring this bill is, while we have the Hathaway Scholarship, and as I've pointed out before, I am the first member of this body to have gone to college on that scholarship, and I feel that it is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for students that they might not otherwise have to go to school. I feel that there's been a lot of excessive emphasis put on that students need to achieve and strive for that top level. And so I think that what's being overlooked is that there's a lot of opportunity out there for if kids want to go get a welding degree or a mechanics degree or electricians or for plumbers or whatever, but that discussion needs to be had, and that part of the scholarship and those opportunities need to be promoted. Because, you know, I think that I hear a lot that our kids go to school and then they don't come back. They leave the state and they move elsewhere. And, you know, I think that there needs to be an understanding that there's plenty of opportunity if someone wants to go be a mechanic in the coal mine or in the oil field or even take those uses and take them back home to the ranch, that opportunity should be available. And so this task force sets out to try and address that issue and have that discussion as to how this would either be promoted or how this would be possibly have a curriculum set up that would be good for kids who have that interest starting at the high school level, that they would have more opportunity to take ag classes and shop classes or, for that matter, even the arts such as band and music and visual art. So that's generally an overview of the bill, what's left of it. And so I would currently stand for questions. Thank you.
Representative Allen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, or Co-Chair. Excuse me, Chair. I'm on and for the bill. It is a shell of its former shell, to quote the previous speaker. But in our defense, especially his, since he's the drafter of the bill and I'm just a co-sponsor, it was drafted when oil prices were higher, in our defense. But at any rate, there is no doubt that what pays the bills in this state are the development of minerals. And so we should protect that golden goose and facilitate helping our students get the training that they need to do that or whatever they choose. So there was broad support for this concept at the committee meeting. And in fact, some of the discussion was maybe we need to dovetail this into the existing Hathaway. Doesn't really matter. That's what this task force will set out to do, is figure out the best way to make this move forward. But I think there is broad support, and I would urge you to vote for the bill.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My question was kind of touched on, and that was why we can't just roll this into the Hathaway scholarship, because I'm all for allowing students to be able to use a scholarship for technical scholarships in my business. That's the type of person that we need to hire. And it seems we've already got a scholarship set up. I'm assuming that if we create a new scholarship, somebody's not going to be able to use the Hathaway scholarship and the new scholarship. So why not just create a path where they can use the Hathaway for this? I'm not necessarily for or against the bill. I just kind of want to hear that discussion.
Representative Summers.
Madam Chairman, I will yield my time to the good representative over there to answer that question, and then I'll speak in a minute.
Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And to answer the question to the good representative from the middle of the state, that's precisely at this point what it does. Initially, the idea would be to have been created a second scholarship altogether, but I think that after discussions in committee and with other people, that it would be a more practical thing that we simply would take funding, if there was any additional funding needed, out of the overflow that is there, that is currently in that Hathaway scholarship fund. It's clear that that fund has done well for itself. It is self-sustaining. It has more in money in it than its target goal. I believe it was set at $400 million and now is north of $500 million. And so at this point, there would not be need to consider creating a second scholarship fund or a second scholarship altogether on their own. And so any additional funding that might be necessary would come out of the existing funding.
Representative Summers.
Madam Chairman, thank you. I stand on in support of this bill. Excuse me. During the interim, we got a report. It was dealing with the governance structure, but part of that report talked to education, and it referenced a study that talked about where the future jobs in education will lie in Wyoming. And I dug out that whole study and read it, the study within the study, or the study that was referenced in the study. And what it really spoke to was out there in the year 2018 and beyond, Wyoming's needs are going to be in this category of some education, but not really a bachelor degree. And it's in that area that the good representative is trying to address. I think it's a very important sector for the education in Wyoming. And what you have to understand about the Hathaway, it's a great program, but it does choose winners and losers. And the curriculum is kind of driving, you know, for rigor, which is towards kind of your bachelor degree and on that direction. And sometimes these career opportunities get pushed to the side as we try to promote that. And I think it's great to take a look at this, and I really support this effort. Thank you.
Chairman Hushman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Members, I distributed a handout via email to all representatives, and I'll give you a little data on several of the questions that were asked. Now, and while you're pulling that up, but the previous speaker from a little west of here, I agree with almost everything he said about the jobs in the future and the studies we've done and all those things. I mean, career tech is going to be a huge part and has been a huge part and will continue to be moving forward. But I disagree on the part about the success curricula and the rigor that is driving students in a certain direction towards a bachelor's degree. And on that handout that I distributed to you via email, if you open that up, you can see the spreadsheet. And this is the enrollment of Hathaway students at our seven community colleges. And as you know, I chaired the Hathaway, that it was called the Merit Scholarship Committee in those days when we set the thing up and set all the parameters up, and it's been now 10 years ago. But one of the things we said is that the state taxpayer money was going to really fund our public community colleges and our university. We weren't going to open this up to any kind of company that wanted to come in and say, we're going to train, you know, welders, or we're going to train auto mechanics, or those kind of things. Because we felt that mission is really handled already by our seven community colleges and through their, you know, pretty impressive outreach into all of our communities. We have community college buildings in most of our communities now, or close to them. And our community colleges are doing a great job in all these areas. The largest community college that's actually in my district, we do all these things. It's very impressive. And so you can see then the community college enrollments. And look, in 2013, total Hathaway awards, 4,900 awards, total CTE majors by those kids that are in our community colleges are over 1,000. So 21% of the majors are CTE majors in 2013, the most recent data. And then you can see them by category. The honors, which is the highest award, takes a 3.5 GPA, 11% of the kids, and that's like a 25 on the ACT or a corresponding score on the work keys. That's a difficult, you're in a upper echelon, but 11% of those awards are kids who are in CTE classes. And then you see the performance, which is also, I think that's a 21 on the ACT, corresponding work keys. Basically a third of those kids, and that easily covers the cost of tuition at our community colleges, the performance award. A third of the kids are in CTE majors. And then you can see out of the opportunity, which is a lower level, it's an 18 on the ACT, a 2.5 GPA, 21% are CTE majors. And then finally, the opportunity provisional, which is simply graduation from high school. I think it's a 17 ACT or a work keys score. Most of the kids are taking work keys in this instance, and you can see 37% of those kids are CTE majors. I really think it's important to not get confused on the purpose of Hathaway and who's using it and where we're using it. I support our community colleges, their mission to train our citizens for these CTE careers that are going to be so vital. And so I think we've already done it. What I would oppose is spending more precious school foundation dollars on a study that's not needed, to somehow maybe, who knows where that thing will end, whether we try to open it up to private guys to compete with our community colleges and all those things. I just think it's unnecessary. And so I think everybody here is for high standards. High standards are going to be important whether you're in a bachelor's track or whether you're in a CTE track, frankly. And so it's going to be so important. But I just wanted to share this data and get a few of the facts out of what's actually happening on the ground across Wyoming today. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Do we have the figures on the retention and the completion of the CTEs? That would be a very interesting document to also look at.
Representative Hunt, are you ready? Anybody else before? Is there any further discussion on the bill? Question being called, all those in favor of Representative Patton's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill 103 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
The chair is in doubt. All the ayes, please stand. House Bill 103 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. For those of you who will be attending the privilege of the floor.
Go ahead.
For those of you who plan to attend the service this afternoon, it's my understanding that there are some four rows of reserved seats for legislators. So I just wanted to let everyone know that. It could be crowded, however, so don't be like me and walk in at 12:59. Thank you.
Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole begs to leave to rise and sit again until 3 p.m.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The Committee of the Whole will rise and return at 3 p.m. And I beg your pardon, I'm getting carried away. I haven't got cards for these things. Chairman Swanitzer.
Committee announcements, Madam Chairwoman?
Yes, that sounds like a wonderful idea. Committee announcements.
Committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet in about 5 minutes in room H18 to hear House Bill 199, Special Districts Limited Term, and House Bill 201, Deposits by Political Subdivisions.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet 10 minutes after adjournment today in room H17 to hear House Bill 163, Critical Access Hospital Endowment Challenge Program, House Bill 174, Nicotine Products Regulation, House Bill 183, Insurance Coverage, Early Refills of Prescription Eye Drops.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in room H8 to consider the following bills: House Bill 187, House Bill 211, House Bill 214. Furthermore, we'll meet tomorrow at noon in room H8 to consider Senate File 14 and House Bill 186. And furthermore, on Wednesday at 8 a.m., to consider the following bills: House Bill 210, House Bill 195, and House Bill 158.
Chairman Hushman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. House Appropriations Committee number 2 will meet upon noon recess to consider House Bill 162, Providers Orders for Life-Sustaining Treatment. And then, Madam Chair, on adjournment today, The committee will meet as a joint committee to review House Bill 1, correct any mistakes, and take any final vote on House Bill 1. And then, Madam Chair, your committee number 2 will meet at 8 a.m. on re-referred bills, House Bill 107, Interstate Medical Licensure Compact, House Bill 118, Education Community College Commission Budget Request, House Bill 138, Workers' Compensation for Special Education Teachers, House Bill 152, Industrial Siting Impact Payments, House Bill 209, Transfer of Federal Lands. And then, Madam Chair, further, your committee number 2 will meet on noon recess tomorrow, Tuesday, February 3rd, to consider House Joint Resolution 11, Non-Economic Damages Constitutional Amendment, House Bill 225, Highway Patrol Security Duties, and House Bill 189, Federal Funds Task Force. And finally, Madam Chair, Committee 2 will meet upon adjournment to consider House Bill 91, Restoring Constitutional Governance Act, House Bill 133, United Nations Agenda 21, Prohibition on Implementation, and House Bill 131, Change in Party Affiliation. Thank you, Madam Chair.
God bless you, Chairman Hushman. Chairman McKim.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Your committee number 5, Agriculture, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in H11 to consider the following bills. House Bill 47, Shipment of Wine, and There Are No Free Samples. House Joint Resolution number 10, Magna Carta.
Chairman Petrov.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will be meeting tomorrow, Tuesday, February 3rd, at 8 a.m. in room 302 to hear the following bill, House Bill 156, Abortion Ultrasound Information.
Chairman Patton. Chairman Patton.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Your committee on education number 4 will meet immediately after adjournment this evening. Consider House Bill 179, 190, 191, and 192, the last three all on the Hathaway Scholarship.
Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. May I have privilege of the floor?
Indeed.
Thank you. You still have time, if you would like, to contribute $25 to attend the Governor's Prayer Breakfast, which will be held on February 11th. You can just take your contribution downstairs to the Governor's office. The event will be at 7 a.m., and it takes until 8:30 on February 11th. It's a really a wonderful event. You should have time this year, since we'll be done with most of our committee work, and it'll be crossover. So come to me if you have any further questions.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. May I have privilege of the floor?
Please go ahead.
Up in the balcony to my left, some of you to your left, I have the privilege today of introducing my dear wife. And if you'd stand, and I'd like to welcome her to the house. Christy is a mom now. We have 3 children over the last year. We've been able to have, and so God's been so good to us, but I want to welcome her to the house. Thank you.
Welcome, Christy. Representative Stubson, sorry, I'm blanking out here. Your formal title, whoever you are, King of the Back, right there.
Madam Chairman, can I have privilege of the floor, please? Just real briefly, on this very special day, I just wanted to take a moment and wish all the members a very happy Groundhog's Day.
Do we have any more announcements? Then the House is in recess until 3 p.m.